Ladies and gentlemen, thank you for standing by. I am Gayle, your Chorus Call operator. Welcome, and thank you for joining the OPAP conference call to present and discuss the OPAP S.A. first half 2018 financial results conference call. At this time, I would like to turn the conference over to Mr. Damian Cope, CEO of OPAP S.A. Mr. Cope, please proceed.
Thank you very much, operator. Good morning or good afternoon to everyone, and welcome to OPAP's H1 2018 investor conference call. As always, our CFO, Michael Hust, will start by commenting on the financial picture for the quarter. I'll then provide you with an update, and we will afterwards answer any questions you may have. Michael, over to you.
Thank you, Damien. Good afternoon, everybody. Starting with macro developments, it seems that GDP has entered a growing path fueled by tourism, exports increase, and a gradual unemployment reduction. The latter has also helped into an increase in the disposable income, which, however, has not yet materialized into an equal private consumption growth. Our base case scenario is that this trend will remain in place for some time, which in practical terms would mean that gaming spending should also grow, albeit at a modest pace. Our revenue growth continues to compare favorably with any retail-oriented economic indicators. We managed to outperform, also accelerating our pace on the second quarter. Overall, we generated revenues that came in higher by 7.1% and 9.3% in the first half and second quarter of this year, respectively. Likewise, gross profit from gaming operations moved in line with revenue higher by 9.1% in Q2 at 242.3 million, once more demonstrating healthy new business growth. Profitability-wise, reported EBITDA in H1 rose by a strong 20.5% at 288.1 million, while growing even further by 34.6% in Q2 2018. On a recurring basis, after adjusting Q2 2017 figures for litigation provisions of approximately 12 million, EBITDA in the second quarter increased by 9.3% in line with the first quarter's trend. Growth came as a result of the revenue expansion, at the same time always keeping an eye at all controllable cost lines. Finally, Q2 net profit reached 26.2 million, higher by 59% year-on-year, while increasing by roughly 5% on a recurring basis. As a reminder, note that the effect of the one-offs will be counterbalanced in the nine-month period, as Q3 2017 was favored by a positive reversal of a roughly equal amount of provisions. On the cost side, trends were also quite similar to the first quarter. Commissions to our agents increased by 6.2% on the back of the agent commission compensation scheme, which led commission for our legacy games to 37% of NGR. Note that despite the change on the nominal rate, the average agent's remuneration has increased versus last year's levels on the back of the new products contributions. Going forward, we expect further cost savings to materialize coming from the reduction of the base VLT-related commissions in the agencies effective in the second half of this year and the reduction of our legacy games commission rate to 36% of NGR as of 1st of January 2019. With regard to the rest of our cost items, marketing expense normalized in H1, remaining broadly flat year-on-year. You may remember that this was also our guidance during the previous quarter, and we don't see any reason to deviate from that for the rest of the year as well. We consider that keeping marketing costs flat is a substantial achievement. Moving to payroll, the relevant expense line increased by 20% and 22% in H1 and Q2 respectively, primarily due to the full consolidation of Neurosoft, which added 3 million on the relevant cost line in H1. Set aside that, we were also in need of increased personnel related to the concurrent implementation of several new projects, but we believe that we have now come to a point where headcount will now more or less stabilize. Finally, IT remained flat and is expected to head south in the medium term on the back of renegotiated agreements becoming effective in the second half of this year. Overall, we are satisfied with how costs have been evolving. We also think that this is of high importance when considering that in the last year we completely transformed our technology, at the same time rolling out probably the largest number of machines on a European level. Operating cash flow reached 104 million in the first half of the year, remaining at broadly the same levels versus last year, on the back of the calendar effect related to the agent settlement and higher taxes payable. CapEx in H1 amounted to approximately 23 million, spreading across IT, network infrastructure, rollouts, implementations, etc. Our expectation for the full year now stands at almost 40 million CapEx, while based on our current planning starting from 2019, we should tend towards maintenance CapEx significantly lower than that, always excluding any new opportunities. Turning to our products, VLT were the main reason behind year-on-year growth. Q2 GGR reached 46 million versus 7.5 million during the same period last year, on the back of the substantial increase of the machines, which stood at almost 14,000 at the end of H1 and now standing at roughly 15,500 machines. Our KPI related to the GGR for the fully operating machines for the quarter reached 42.4 euros per VLT per day, also due to the dilution coming from the new machine rollouts. On our part, we have a set of plans to increase the machine's performance, and Damien will tell you more about it later. Betting followed with regards to the revenue increase. The segment's revenues increased by 7.3% and 2% in H1 and Q2, respectively. The slowdown of the increase rate between the first and second quarter is exclusively due to the fact that Virtuals commenced operation in Q2 2017, and as such, the year-on-year comparison is now it's like for like. Stichima also experienced material growth in June, aided by the World Cup, with the average turnover per match being almost 6% higher versus the Euro even in 2016. As for lottery, underlying trends were roughly the same, with one of the first quarter Kino dropped year-on-year on the back of the anticipated VLT cannibalization. On the positive side, we continue to see that the substitution is smaller versus original assumptions. Taking into account our plans to launch a new Kino initiative later this year, we remain confident about the game prospects, both in the short and the long term. At the same time, Joker jackpot rollovers remain unfavorable for the full course of the quarter, resulting in flattish quarterly revenues. As noted several times, jackpot frequency is common practice for this kind of games, and as such, we believe that the trend will sooner or later normalize, as was already partially proved by longer jackpot series in July-August. With that, I am passing you over to Damien, who will comment on our business progress over the quarter and our plans going forward.
Thank you, Michael. As you've heard, OBAP delivered another strong quarter in terms of our financial results, and I'll now share with you details of our operational performance in Q2, including an update on our key initiatives. Overall, I would say that we've again made good progress across all of our strategic priorities. Starting with the core of our business, our retail network of dedicated OBAP stores in Greece, we continue to move ahead in the overall modernization and optimization of our estate. As you can see from the presentation, slide 16, the number and profile of our stores has changed over the past few years. In summary, we are building a higher quality estate of shops that are on average 17% larger in terms of floor space than just a few years ago. Today, we operate just over 3,900 OBAP shops in Greece, and around 800 of them have been renovated within the last 3 years. The decline in total shop numbers in the last 12 months was due to the departure from the network of those agents that chose not to sign the new contract last year. Inevitably, this drop in location numbers has had a slight drag on our overall network performance during 2018. This ongoing process to improve the quality of our estate will naturally continue for the next few years. So far during 2018, we've opened more than 300 new shops and expect to have closer to 4,000 shops operating at the end of the year. All of the new shops we open are benefiting from our latest design guidelines, plus the many technology improvements, which I will update you on shortly. While we optimize the shops themselves, we also continue to support our agents. And in Q2, the first quarter since the new contract became effective, we saw that the average commission per agent grew by 6%. As stated previously, we continue to identify further means through central procurement and other initiatives by which we can assist our agents to grow their profitability. Turning now to our other network, Play Gaming Halls, where we have now reached a total of 316 operating locations, and we expect to have around 350 in operation by the end of 2018. As our rollout of VLTs has progressed, we've moved our focus towards developing fewer, larger gaming hall locations with between 25 to 50 machines, rather than more of the smaller venues with up to 25 machines. We're also looking to further improve the overall customer experience. At the start of the summer, we opened a new concept of gaming hall in Volos called Mega, which we hope to establish as a genuine entertainment destination for local players. In terms of the overall rollout of VLTs across both Play Gaming Halls and UpUp shops, we continue on our long-term path towards completing the placement of 25,000 machines by the end of 2019. As of today, we have 15,554 in the field and are targeting between 19 and 20,000 by the end of 2018. I would say that our focus has already changed from one of pure rollout to the standard process of establishing operational excellence, a process that involves the optimization of VLT allocation in terms of venue, product mix, and many other factors. From Q4 2018, we'll also be initiating the contracted performance management process across all of our VLT vendors. And for your information, we've included on slide 18 a summary of the current split of ordered machines across our four VLT vendor partners. In particular, though, we are spending more time using the benefits that come from the mandatory player cards to engage directly with those customers who have opted in to receive communication from us and to provide a number of different offers. We believe that with the gradual introduction of responsible promotional activities, both direct to customer and in and around the gaming hall, we will develop a solid base of regular customers who will be able to safely enjoy loyalty benefits, whether they play in a Play Gaming Hall or in an UpUp shop. These new marketing efforts only began in earnest recently, and we expect to increase these activities during the seasonally busy Q4 period. In terms of total customer numbers, we now have over 240,000 registered VLT player accounts, with the level of actual monthly actives driven by seasonal factors. The gender split is now 73% men, 27% women, and in terms of age groups, about half of our customers are in the 25 to 45 year bracket, with the remainder split older, younger. When it comes to our VLT performance, we've seen that the daily yield per machine has slowed a little as the density of our machines has increased. I believe that the various actions I've described should help to gradually raise this number over time, and as each individual VLT location reaches maturity, which we still believe is between 12 and 18 months from initial deployment. One final point on VLTs. I would just like to remind everyone that we still experience significant and in some cases very aggressive competitive pressure from the many illegal gaming locations. This persistent problem exists across the whole of the country of Greece and even in central Athens, with even new illegal locations being opened during 2018. We continue to work with the government to identify solutions to address this problem, which directly impacts the performance of our VLT business. It also remains a serious risk for Greek consumers and a substantial lost revenue opportunity for the Greek state. Turning now to other products, and first our largest product category, lotteries, of which Joker and Keno are the major contributors. As you've heard from Mikhail, our performance in this category is affected by the volatile performance of Joker, which, like lotteries in many markets, reacts directly to the level of rollovers that occur. Keno performance remains robust despite the competition from the growing portfolio of products in our shops. During Q4, we also intend, subject to regulatory clearance, to introduce an extension of the Keno game where customers will be able to bet on a number of new alternative bet types. Turning to betting, and like most other operators, the World Cup in Russia was a busy and successful event for OPAP. Thanks to our new sports betting platform, we were able to significantly increase the number of markets on offer, especially for live betting and SSBTs, and this translated into positive growth in turnover per match, especially live betting, when compared to levels seen at the Euros 2 years ago. On SSBTs, we now have over 4,000 machines live across more than 2,000 shops, the majority of them being tablets rather than the full-size cabinets. They are popular both with our customers and our agents, and we expect to increase the number to over 5,000 SSBTs installed by the end of 2018. In shops where SSBTs are installed, we see that they already account for between 15 to 20% of sports betting turnover, and we expect that this would grow further in the future. Finally, and as mentioned in the past, we plan to develop these self-service devices to offer a number of additional retail products. It's already possible to place bets on virtual products via these devices, and we intend to also add the popular Keno product with the aim to have this piloted by the start of 2019. It's also worth mentioning that in Cyprus, we now have over 750 SSBTs across our shops there, and throughout 2018, we've seen strong year-on-year growth in both turnover and GGR as a result. During Q4, we also intend to launch in Greece the next version of our virtual product called Matchday from Inspired Entertainment, which provides the opportunity for customers to bet on multiple simultaneous virtual events. Turning now to technology, and as you will remember me saying on previous calls, our company has for the last 2 years been working on a significant transformation and modernization of our technology infrastructure and platforms. While the modernization process will continue as a part of normal business, I can confirm that during the summer, we successfully concluded all of our major technology migrations. During the whole program, we introduced over 50,000 new technical devices, everything from tills to set-top boxes, routers to printers, and in particular, this means that every agent now has the benefit of a new modern point-of-sale terminal, which replaces the previous ones, which had been in place for at least 10 years. And these new terminals house all of the major products being sold. Customers also enjoy the many benefits of the new Playtech sports betting platform that is fully integrated across both over-the-counter and SSBC transactions for both live and pre-game bets, and offering a number of new features, including cash out. Within the technology program, we also work with our partner OTE to replace the entire network infrastructure, together with a new digital signage setup, introducing an improved platform which will provide significant flexibility in our broadcasting capability in the future. Overall, it was a huge achievement for the OPAP team and one of the largest such retail transformation programs in Europe. Online remains a significant opportunity for OPAP, and now that we've completed the other major technology initiatives, we're now ready to launch our own online sportsbook. Within the next couple of weeks, we'll be relaunching our sports betting site, pamastikima.gr, which will offer much improved and more competitive odds. In addition, the new site will provide the opportunity for our agents to earn the same level NGR commissions as they currently have in the shops today. We believe that these two factors, together with the strength of our brand, will combine to significantly grow the contribution from our online business. It's also our intention during 2019 to offer online more of the exclusive products that we currently offer in our shops, notably Keno and Joker. Looking at non-gaming products now, and you'll remember that Tora is our e-money business licensed by the Bank of Greece. So far in 2018, we've kicked off the process during which every agent will be certified by the Bank of Greece. It's not a simple process, but it's our intention to have every agent certified by the middle of 2019. And similarly, we hope to be able to offer services online via a dedicated Tora app during the first half of 2019. We remain excited about the opportunity for OPAP to offer a broad range of non-gaming services to our existing customers and to attract new customers into the OPAP world. As for the OPAP team, our total headcount reached 1,459 people at the end of Q2. The bulk of the year-on-year growth came as a result of the inclusion of Neurosoft's employees. And as mentioned during the previous quarter, we feel that the overall headcount is now very close to what we think it should be, considered as the base for the group's current activities. When it comes to our employees' engagement, our annual survey demonstrated a remarkable 87% participation with a set of clear and encouraging results. and having been formally recognized as one of the best workplaces in Greece, we will of course be continuing our ongoing investment in the development of all of our people. Finally, I'd just like to touch on two other important areas, responsible gaming and CSR. OPAP takes responsible gaming very seriously, and we've taken a number of steps over the last few years to further ensure that we protect those that may be at risk from our products. I'm therefore particularly pleased to announce that we've recently been awarded by the World Lotteries Association with a Level 4 certificate in responsible gaming, the highest level. We've also been awarded by the European Lotteries Organization with a statement of alignment with a European Responsible Gaming Standard. Both awards reflect our commitment to ensure that we set the highest standards in this area and the hard work by many in the company to train and educate our employees, agents, and players. Turning now to CSR, and this summer, through the well-documented wildfires in Attica, Greece experienced one of the most tragic events in the country's history, one that resulted in a significant loss of human life. As a company with a physical representation in practically every village, town, and city in Greece, we have a close connection with every community. Immediately after the incident, OPAP committed resources and funds to meet the needs of the local communities affected. We offered first aid and supplies to the locals with a number of our employees serving as volunteers. We cooperated with the local municipalities to accommodate the affected ones, while we later took on the restoration of two schools that were hit in the area. On Tuesday this week, the first day of the new school year, our chairman, Camille Ziegler, myself and other members of the OPAP management team, along with the president of the Hellenic Republic, attended a ceremony at one of the schools to mark the start of the new school year and to acknowledge the renovation of the two schools. As the CEO of the company, I remain incredibly proud of these kinds of efforts that OPAP maintains in the ongoing commitment to support the communities in which we operate. Finally, our relationship with the Greek government, and in particular the Hellenic Gaming Commission, continues to evolve well. You will also be aware that the draft online gaming law has finally been released, with a public consultation period up until October the 5th. We've stated many times in the past that clearing up the current unclear situation is long overdue, and this is certainly a step in the right direction. As you will understand, we will not be commenting on any specific elements of the draft today, but will of course be delivering our comments as part of the consultation process. Overall, we hope that a law that establishes a clear regulatory environment and that also it respects OPAP's many rights will be implemented as soon as possible. With that, I'd like to thank you for your attention, and Mikhail and I are now ready to answer any questions you may have.
The first question is from the line of Draziotis Stamatis with Eurobank Equities. Please go ahead.
Yes, hi there, and thank you very much for taking my questions. Well, I have three questions. I'll start with the first one relating to VLTs. Basically, starting from the machines that were operating since the start of the quarter, the blended number that you provide shows a small deceleration in terms of daily drop, and I would think this is the case even on a like-for-like basis, namely the 10,000 machines operating since the beginning of the year. Just wondering, based on the work that you have done so far and the feedback that you've received from your franchisees, what is the main reason for this? Does it relate predominantly to store location and the size of the black market around the area? Does it relate to the machine supplier, which might also explain the different mix of vendors you've selected for the next VLT wave? And related to that is also the question of whether there is actually still a gap in terms of performance between a VLT shop and a betting outlet. So that was the first question. I will let you probably respond to that.
We were waiting for questions two and three, but if you want to start with that one first, we'll do that.
I think it's better if you don't mind, yeah.
Okay. Look, I think it's safe to say that there's no simple answer. Again, you've got to remember that we have now rolled out 15,000 machines in the space of about 18 months or just over 18 months. We are learning day by day from our franchisees, from locations, from our vendors, what works, what doesn't work. As I touched on before, we're trying to get beyond just physically putting machines out there and trying to optimize performance. Some of the issues you've touched on are obvious ones. So looking at the vendors, yeah, we don't have one machine in our shops, for example, like the model in the UK. And in some cases, we only have three machines in the shop. So you're always trying to optimize what the right combination of those machines is. And even in gaming halls, where we have up to 50 machines, there's obviously an almost infinite combination of machines that we can use and have in our mix. And that's constantly evolving all the time. So that's sort of, I'd say, work in progress. On locations overall, I would say that we are happy with locations. Like any network, some locations work better than others. We have some regions that are incredibly strong, generating GGR per VLT per day well above the average that we disclose. And similarly, we have others that are at the other end. And in some case, that is not necessarily down to the location. It may even be down to the quality of the agent or the franchisee. Again, for a lot of them, it's the first time that they are operating a gaming hall. So there are a number of different factors. We continue to work, and particularly in the areas I highlighted around customer engagement. So again, unlike a lot of other markets, with the player card, we're able to contact customers directly. And it's almost like a sort of an online gaming world where you have an email and you can send promotional offers to individuals. But to sort of conclude, I would say that a very, very, very large barrier for us is the illegal market. It is incredibly frustrating for us as a regulated business to go through all of the necessary processes, all of the necessary certifications, open a brand new gaming hall, and then within a few weeks we see an illegal location opening literally sometimes a few meters away and nothing being done about it, and without any restrictions in terms of registration or withholding tax or anything else. It's often quite tempting, even for a registered player, to reduce the amount of play they've been doing with us and then go into an illegal gaming location. So as I indicated in my comments earlier, we are working very hard with the government to try and find some kind of resolution to this situation, but it is incredibly frustrating for everyone involved in this business that it continues to exist.
That's very clear. Thank you. And secondly, just again on VLTs, if I'm not mistaken, most of the new machines introduced in Q2 were rolled out in gaming halls, and in fact, it seems in large venues, as you mentioned in the presentation. Could you tell us whether these machines have showcased material difference in terms of performance relative to previous new entrants?
So you're talking about the ones that are rolled out in Q2 this year or last year?
The ones that were rolled out this quarter, which seem to have been rolled out. Most of them seem to have been rolled out in gaming halls and in fact in large venues. And I was just wondering whether you have seen a strong start or not really, or you cannot really make any conclusion. I don't know.
To be honest, I mean, Q2 is still very early. Don't forget, as you know, we've had the summer period, and there's always a little bit of a softness during that time. What I would say, though, is the larger gaming locations, and particularly the format that I touched on, the Mega and Volos, we're seeing some very encouraging performance there. So it's early days for the recent rollouts, but as I touched on, and it's very much part of our strategy, we're going to be focusing on bigger locations with more of a, if you like, an entertainment feel rather than the smaller destination, which literally has machines and nothing else.
That's clear. Thank you. And just a final question. Moving on to Stoiximia. I've seen that the gross win margins of Stoiximia have been actually expanding in the last couple of years. So just wondering whether this was the case also in H1, and if this has been the case, does this reflect a mix effect, i.e., a shift towards multiples, or is this a reflection of pricing in general?
If you're talking about the margin across the whole of our betting category, it's obviously a combination of virtuals and sports betting. And in fact, virtuals, if anything, pulls it lower. We haven't been doing anything in terms of our pricing to significantly increase our overround. If anything, in fact, for this season, we are being more aggressive on some of our overrounds. Like any operator, we will promote multiples because there's a higher margin for us. And certainly, with the introduction of SSBTs, and as is common in other markets, the number of bets per slip, the average number of bets per slip is higher. So I'm not sure if that answers your question, but certainly there's no specific pricing decision on our part to increase the theoretical overround of our sports betting products.
Mm-hmm. Yes, it does answer my question. Thank you.
And sorry, is that the third or is that the second?
Thank you.
Mr. Diazotis, can you hear me?
Sorry, can you hear me?
Yes, we can hear you.
Yes, I said I'm that was my third question, so I'm done. Sorry.
Okay. All right. Thank you very much.
Thank you so much. Thank you.
The next question is from the line of Kourtesis Iakovos with Piraeus Securities. Please go ahead.
Yes, good afternoon, gentlemen. My first question has to do with VLTs, and if you could let us know what is the performance in terms of net drop per VLT per day. Is it improved in the third quarter, and how confident do you feel that you are going to improve the performance in terms of this key performance indicator by the end of the year? The second has to do with the online gaming platform. Taking into account that in sports betting you are doing very well on virtuals, I believe. Do you think that the absence or the non-launch of the online gaming platform ahead of the World Cup led to weaker performance in terms of GGR from the World Cup than the one recorded in the sports betting? And when you are going to launch it, are you going to launch it, as far as I understand, before the end of the year? And finally, in terms of your dividend policy, I suppose you stick on your previous guidance about the distribution of the bulk of free cash flow to the shareholders. Thank you very much.
Thanks very much. I'll let Mikhail answer the last one, and then I'll come back to the others.
Hi. We will stick to our dividend policy, so nothing is changing, and it's basically we distribute the maximum allowed by law. Now as an interim dividend, which was half of our net income, and we are sticking to our policy to distribute bulk of the free cash flow.
And then continuing backwards, if you like, through your original questions. So the launch date, as I said, is in the next couple of weeks. We're literally just in the very final phase of testing, so you can expect to see that soon. It was a conscious decision by us not to launch before the World Cup. I've tried to indicate to you just how much was going on in relation to technology within this organization over the last few months, and it really was very significant. And honestly, we could have launched before the World Cup, but we, looking at the overall level of risk, it seemed unnecessary. And in fact, our performance in the shops, we were very happy with for for the World Cup. We still think it's a great opportunity. We know that there are a lot of customers already playing online with competitors and still coming to our shops. We know the crossover is significant. And so we think with our brand, with some competitive odds rather than the same odds as we offer in our shops, and the support of our agents, who, as I said, are going to be commissioned on exactly the same basis for revenues generated from their registered customers online as in the shop, I'm cautiously very optimistic about our online future. On VLTs, I'm not sure what else there is to say, actually. On Q3, like I say, it's been the summer period. No significant change in the trend. The only thing I would say is, as you will remember from last year, Q4 seasonally is very strong. So we would expect to see a tick up in Q4 as we get towards the end of the year and the holiday season.
Okay, but just one last thing, if I may. Could you quantify for us the benefit from the completion of the migration of your IT systems in the second half of the year in the your IT cost line?
Yeah, we were all the time saying that, let's say, the annualized savings should be around 15 million. Yeah. So it's not half of it, because basically we transferred in July, so it's not half of it. So, but it's, let's say, 15 million is annualized.
Thank you very much.
Ladies and gentlemen, there are no further questions at this time. I would like to now turn the conference over to Mr. Cope for any closing comments. Thank you.
Thank you very much to everyone for joining us today, and we look forward to speaking to you again soon. Thanks very much. Bye-bye.